I don't think there's anyone in this room today that could not teach this lesson. Every single one of us in this room, if you've gotten where you are today, as an adult, as some of us a little bit older adults, we all could teach this lesson on storms of life. And so as I was praying about what do I do with the storms of life, I got tossed and blown about a bit trying to figure out exactly how do we do storms of life. And I looked at people in the Bible and I thought about, well, let's look at different individuals and see how they face their storms. And we can go all the way back to Adam. We can go to Abraham. We can go to Joseph. We could go to any number of people and look at their lives. We could go to the Shunammite woman. We could go to Ruth. We could go to Naomi. We could go to lots of places in the Bible to find examples of how people face the storms. But I think the biggest thing that I wanted to look at today was the story that we were focused on in our lesson. And that story, of course, is in Luke chapter 8, verse 22. First, I'll just read the scripture, and then I'd like to break it down for us. One day, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got in the boat and they set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. Don't you hate it when Jesus falls asleep? As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are going down." He got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they ask one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just come before you with the scriptures, and we ask you to illuminate them in our minds and in our hearts. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So let's look at the story in detail. Jesus said, in verse 22, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." How exciting it is when Jesus says to us, "Let's do something." I can imagine the excitements of the disciples as he gathered them around from the crowds. And he says to the 12, "Let's go. Let's go over to the other side." That means I, one of the 12, one of his believers, one of his followers, gets to spend time secluded, isolated, alone with Jesus. How much fun this would be when Jesus taps us on the shoulder and he says, "Hey, you, come along with me." Now, this should have been an easy task. I mean, they were believers. We are believers. So when Jesus invites his followers to come with him, to get to know him, to spend time with him, to be alone with him, to be with his focus on them, how exciting that is for each one of us when that happens. That's happened to you, I'm sure, at times when the Holy Spirit maybe has asked you to draw away, set aside some time and spend it with Jesus. Spend it in the Word, maybe. Spend it in fellowship with other ladies like we did in our retreat. What a special time that is when he calls us aside, when he asks us to come alone to be with him. Or maybe it's a time when you've just felt the shadow of the Holy Spirit just kind of come over you and you felt that special bond, that special connection. How fun and exciting that is. When he asked the disciples to come and get in the boat with him, that was an ordinary thing. They were fishermen after all, so get in a boat and go to the other side. easy little thing. Everybody just piled in. They took their places. They took their responsibilities. They grabbed a hold of the oars. They started swinging up the sails. They started arranging things so that they could all fit into the boat. It was an ordinary thing that Jesus was asking them to do. And as followers, sometimes that's with us. Jesus asks us to do things that we're capable of doing. We're comfortable doing them. We do them routinely. And so it's easy for us when he says, I want you to just spend some time in my word. We're in the word all the time anyway, so when he asks us to do that, that's an easy thing to do. Maybe he asks us to draw aside and spend some time in prayer. We're people of prayer, so that's an easy thing for us to do. We can find a day. We can find a place. We can retreat into our closets. We can find the word, and the prayers kind of come up out of the word, and we begin to pray. And pretty soon, maybe we're interceding for some of you. Maybe we're interceding for ourselves. Maybe we're interceding for our family. But the Holy Spirit begins to direct that prayer. And that's an easy thing for us to do. It's a common thing for us to do. Or maybe he asks us to join a Bible study so that we can grow and get deeper in our faith and in our relationship with him and in relationship with other people. Like this situation where the families coming together to support in a time of grief and sadness, a time of loss. But we feel secure in the family. That's an easy thing for us to do. So the disciples were first probably excited about when Jesus said, come, let's go to the other side. When he said, get in the boat, that's an easy thing to do. They can do that. But sometimes when Jesus asks us to do things, unexpected consequences come with that asking. And I think Jesus has a right to ask of us as believers, people who are in relationship with him, as the disciples were, to do things with him or for him. And he can expect us then to respond to that. That's why, as people of faith, he has us here, because he has a lost world that we need to go into. So he comes to us and he asks us to do things. And he expects, as people who are in relationship with him and in fellowship with him, for us to respond to him. After all, what could go wrong if Jesus is asking us to do it? The next verse says, so they got in the boat and they set out. They got in the boat and set out. As I said before, it was an easy thing for them to do, to climb into the boat. For us, it would be a little bit apprehensive. Where's the life jacket first and foremost? How do I get into this big boat first and foremost? Do I have to wait out there first? Who's going to pick me up so I can get into the boat? Then when I'm in the boat, now where do I sit? Because for us, getting into the boat would be awkward. We don't do that every day. But these disciples knew that procedure so easy, so confidently, that they just immediately followed that command, or they immediately were excited about the possibilities. For us, following Jesus and obeying Jesus' request feels familiar to us. So we get in the boat. After all, what can happen? How safe is this? Jesus has asked me to do it. So he's got to be there. He's got to make a way for us. He's got to prepare. He's got to go before us. That's what the scripture says. Make straight our paths. Pull down the mountains. Lift up the valleys. Walk on even ground. So we respond. Then the verse says, as they sailed, he, Jesus, fell asleep. I can imagine as the disciples, I know this for me. Sometimes I love it when Jesus does feel so confident in my ability to accomplish what he asked me to do that he can just go to sleep. He's so sure that I have been trained in the Word of God and so sure that he has discipled me, that he has invested in me, that he feels confident through the power of the Holy Spirit that I can accomplish the task in which he's given me. And it's reassuring to me to know that Jesus trusts me with this assignment. He knows that I'll be faithful to carry it out. He knows that I'll be faithful to have scriptures and knows that I'll be faithful to have prayed about it and knows I'll be faithful to have surrounded myself with people who will pray with me and stand with me. He knows that I'll go to the last place to get it done for Jesus. So he feels confident enough to go to sleep. That's, I think, how the disciples must have felt. They were so comfortable in this boat. It was such a part of their nature and part of who they were that it was very easy for them just to get in there and start doing what they know they are supposed to do. So they jumped and they started, they launched, and they were secure in their ability to take this boat from one side to the other side. They did it all the time. We do things for Jesus all the time. Maybe we teach Sunday school every single Sunday. And we're confident, not because we're cocky, but because we know that we've been equipped and we've been trained and we know the lesson and we've studied it and we've prepared for it. Maybe we're here. We're confident that we can present to the people of faith words that will build them up and encourage them and strengthen them. I am never that confident. Quirky is that. Elizabeth is that confident. But we are confident because we have been trained, we have been equipped, we have been under the stewardship of someone else, we've studied the Word, and we've prepared. So we're comfortable. We think we're comfortable in doing that. And we feel confident and amazed and gratified and reassured when Jesus just falls asleep under our ability to do what he asks us to do. Sometimes we even feel, I even feel the righteousness of that. You know, that kind of, well, I am good enough to do this. And he is confident enough in me. It's not that I'm arrogant, it's just that I have an assurance of the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to speak into me the things that I know I need to do. So if I need to visit somebody in the hospital, though that may not be a gifting that I have, that I can do that because I know the power of the Holy Spirit won't let me down. I can come and I can prepare a meal for someone because I have that ability to do that. I can come alongside of someone in their moment of need and I can stand with them. Why? Because I know what that feels like and I can empathize with that and I've been trained and equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the studying of the Word, by the sitting under teachings, by the meditation of the Word to be able to be confident in that. Sometimes that confidence is enough to launch us into doing what God's asked us to do, even if it's not the most comfortable thing that we do. We know that we can do these things that God, that Jesus asked us to do. And it's reassuring for us. It's reassuring for me sometimes to know that I don't have to always be calling on not calling on Jesus, but to know that the Holy Spirit is equipping me automatically. And that's what he does. The Holy Spirit begins to bring back scriptures, begins to bring back remembrances, begins to bring back examples, begins to bring back that empathy and that sympathy and that heart connection. And so as we begin to do what God asks us to do, we can have that assurance enough that we're confident that even when Jesus goes to sleep on the watch, we can get this done. Then in verse 23, it says, a squall came down on the lake. I can imagine that the disciples in the boat had experienced these kinds of squalls that come down on off of the mountain and begin to chop up the water and begin to create a little bit of disturbance. They were fairly confident, even in this time, that we're capable of handling the situation. We've been in them before. Right now, if you're in the midst of a storm, you may be looking and you may be thinking, you know, I've been in a storm before. I know what a storm begins to feel like. My spirit becomes unsettled. Maybe I can begin to see in my family some of the choppiness of the waves coming across as it blows down across the situation. I can begin to sense the fact that, okay, this isn't the smooth sailing that we had when we first left. this isn't as easy as it looks like it's going to be, but you know what? I still am confident that I can handle even this, the squall, the choppiness of the water, the choppiness of the start of the storm. You feel confident in because I've been in a storm before and I know some scriptures. I know some foundational beliefs. I have inside of me a reservoir of experiences that I can begin to call on. And you're still not concerned about the situation because it's not that you're cocky. It's not. It's just that you're confident in who God is. You've read the scriptures. You've got them on your table this morning of things that He said. You've hidden them away in your heart and you can begin to call those out as you begin to feel the unsettledness taking place in your life or in your family or in your work environment or in your in some aspect of the church or maybe something that God is calling you to do that just, you know, you thought I could, this was going to be easy to do and it comes out to be not quite as easy as you thought it was because now I've got to deal with a committee that I didn't think I had to or I've got to get permission that I thought I already had approval to do this. I thought this was going to be an easy task. I thought everything had already been lined up. And so now all of a sudden we feel the choppiness of the water in our lives, in our spirit, in our situation. Anybody been there when you thought you were going into something and you felt like this was just going to be an easy thing? This was going to be an okay thing. Okay, I expected to have to deal with some things, but I thought because the Holy Spirit, because Jesus had asked me to do it, this would be easier than it actually starting out to be. The disciples weren't concerned, I think, at this point in time. They understood that I've got to learn to navigate this a little bit. I've got to pay a little bit more attention to it. I thought it was going to be smooth sailing, but all of a sudden, you know, the winds are contrary. The boat is kind of drifting here and there. We're kind of being lifted up a little bit and pushed down a little bit. But I still am confident because of the skills that I have, because of how I've trained myself, because this is the lake that I'm familiar with, this is a situation that I've been through before with my daughter or with my son or with my employer or with my church or with my study group or with my husband or with my whatever that is that you're going through. I've been through something similar to this before and I know the faithfulness of God. I know that He will never leave me or forsake me. I know that He called me from the foundations of the earth. I know that He loves me. I know that I've been trained and equipped. I know that He's seen me through the past and He'll see me through this one. As the water begins to get a little choppy. All of us have sailed this lake before. It's not unfamiliar for us what God asks us to do. It's not strange for us because we're followers of Jesus Christ to find ourselves in situations that we thought would be one way and all of a sudden are some other way. It's not unusual for us to kind of push ourselves out on the limit or out toward the edge and feel confident in doing that. Whether it's taking a new position, maybe it's being a member of a new board, maybe it's a building expansion and you at your former church were part of the building committee and now you've been asked to be this. So you know it's going to be different, but you know it's going to be familiar also. So the disciples, as followers, knew this lake. And they knew to follow Jesus to go to the other side because He asked them to do that. And they got in the boat with confidence. How many of us right now are being asked by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus, to do something that we are comfortable with, that we're confident in, but yet the waters are getting a little choppier than we thought they were going to get. And we're having to draw on something that we just didn't expect to have to. Whether it's facing down a strong personality, whether it's a situation that completely caught you off guard and all of a sudden out of the side comes something that you weren't expecting. That's kind of, but you're still confident in who you are in Christ. After all, we've faced a lot of storms. And to get where we are, each one of us have faced a lot of storms. Some big storms, some small storms, some storms that took us by surprise, some storms that we knew were coming. And we feel the temperature change. We feel the waves coming. And I think that's how the disciples felt. But soon, in verse 23, it says, so that The squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. Now this is all of a sudden the situation has changed. And now they realize, wait a minute, I better reevaluate where I am right now. It's gotten stronger and the waves have gotten bigger. And all of a sudden the vessel that we were so confident in and so sure about, that we were so familiar with, all of a sudden starts taking on some water. And all of a sudden we're pretty drenched. And the waves are overpowering us. And they're splashing down into our safe place of safety where we were confident in. All of a sudden it's not so easy to navigate the boat to get from where we are to where Jesus wants us to go. All of a sudden, the confidence that we had in who we were in Christ becomes a little bit more tested. The assurance that Jesus would never leave us or forsake us, though that resonates in our mind, it doesn't resonate so strongly in our heart anymore or in our confidence anymore. The disciples begin to realize this is bigger than we thought it was going to be. This doing what Jesus asked us to do. Maybe you're in that situation where the boat's taking on water now. Maybe you're being kind of swamped by the situation. And it's bigger than you thought it was going to be. You thought this little disturbance in your marriage was just the normal little ripples that happen when just in the course of being married. But all of a sudden, this is bigger than you thought it was going to be. It's becoming more ominous than you thought it was going to be. The waves are bigger and the boat's getting swamped and the familiarity all of a sudden isn't quite, you're not quite as confident. Or maybe it's something that the Holy Spirit, a situation that He's put you in, that you're not as confident in this because I thought I was prepared for this. I thought I knew what this was going to feel like. I thought because I have been through the storms in the past, I thought I would be able to handle whatever came. And I could leave Jesus asleep in the boat, confident in who I was, confident in my word, the study, confident in my prayer life, confident in my maturity in the Spirit, confident in the fact that I knew Jesus had called me to do this. But now all of a sudden the storm gets a little bit bigger. And it's requiring you to make some decisions that maybe you didn't know that you were going to have to make, or making some sacrifices that you thought, I never dreamed I would have to do this. I never dreamed that I would be overwhelmed by the storm. I thought I was pretty confident. I thought I was pretty organized. I thought I was pretty much in control. I thought I had read the scriptures and studied the scriptures and meditated on the scriptures and hidden them in my heart that I would be able to do this better than I'm doing it. Because the storm all of a sudden has taken on a different dimension. And as prepared as I thought I was, if Jesus asked me to do it, then He certainly would see me through it. After all, Jesus asked us to go to the other side. He thought I was capable of doing this. He thought, He knew that I had prepared myself to do this. And all of a sudden, I'm not prepared. All of a sudden, there's a situation that I didn't think about. Maybe all of a sudden, you're the parent to your grandchildren and you never dreamed you would be the parent to your grandchildren. Maybe your son has gone way off and all of a sudden he's in some real serious trouble and now I've got to face that. Or maybe you thought your marriage had been through enough storms that it would just hold together and all of a sudden there's things and indications that just aren't happening the way you thought in the past they had happened. And you realize that this isn't the same place I've been before. Maybe in your work environment, maybe in your social environment, maybe all of a sudden Jesus is asking you to pick up your things and go someplace brand new. That's very scary. And lots of things are attached to that I just don't know I'm confident in that. Or maybe He's asking you to stretch out in your faith a little bit further than He's ever asked you to stretch out and believe in Him more than you've ever believed in Him. And I find myself, though I thought I understood faith, I thought I understood trusting God, I thought I understood how to discern the spirit. I thought I understood all of these things because I've been working on them for a long time. And all of a sudden, you're in a new place, in a new situation. The storm is getting bigger and it's becoming more and more dangerous to you. How do we handle the storms without bothering Jesus? You think, I know what thought went through. Why would I try to handle a storm without bothering Jesus? Because we do. Because of who we are. Because of, you know what? I know I can do this. So why do I need to bother Jesus? I mean, I might pray just, you know, in passing, oh, Holy Spirit, help me know what to say today when I go down to the hospital and face this situation. Or, Holy Spirit, just give me the wisdom and the discernment to know what to say to my husband when he comes home at 5 o'clock and I know we're going to get into this again. Or, Holy Spirit, just help me know what to say to that daughter that just will not listen, or that son who's just in trouble. Or, how do I, we may ask that in passing and we're going on because we know he's going to do that and we're confident in that. But when the storm starts raging really big, and that begins to swamp our boat of confidence of where we know we are, then we start thinking about, maybe I better wake up Jesus. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are drowning. I've been in a lot of situations where I'm drowning. And I know I have said to the Holy Spirit just recently, I'm in trouble here. I know I'm in trouble. I have done all the things that I know to do. I got in the boat confidently. I knew that you had been faithful to me. I got out on the waters that I knew, that I felt was pretty, I was pretty safe in. I felt like I could go and do what Jesus asked me to do. And then when I got out into it and the waters got a little choppy, I thought, okay, I can still handle this. I'll pray. I'll read my scriptures. I'll recite scriptures all day long. I'll meditate on them. I'll do all the things that I've been equipped and trained to do. And the storm just gets getting bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, I find myself in a boat that's being swamped. Maybe you're not in a boat right now that's being swamped. Maybe you are in a boat right now that's being swamped. Maybe you've been in a boat in the past that's being swamped. But I promise you, you will be in a boat in the future that you will feel like you're being swamped in. And you will raise your hand and your voice to God and you will say, Master, Master, we are in trouble and we are drowning. Jesus, the disciples in the boat, the disciples probably thought, we don't need to bother Jesus with this. After all, he's tired. After all, he's been so helpful to me. After all, I have been trained and equipped. I don't need to go and wake him up. Let's see if we can't handle the situation on our own with what we already have, with what we already know. How many of you, don't raise your hand, have been in exactly that situation where you think, I can handle this. I will pray about it. I'll go before the Lord with it, but I don't have to holler out, Master, Master, I'm in trouble. I'm drowning. Help me, because I'm not going to make it through this one. Maybe you aren't there yet. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're just coming out of the storm. But the disciples decided the best way to save themselves was to wake up Jesus and go to him and say, I need your help. I need you to wake up. How confident we were that we could handle it near the shore. How confident we were that we had the right stuff. How confident we were that Jesus wouldn't ask us to do something that he hadn't equipped us and trained us to do. How confident we were in our skills and our abilities, because we had been tested and they have come through for us. But sometimes in our lives, each one of us needs to wake up Jesus. We need to be able to confess, I'm in over my head here. I'm in trouble here, Jesus. It's not my salvation. It's maybe my faith. It's not my eternal life, but maybe it's my trust in you. And as the storms press in on us, and as the squall begins to chop up the water, and as the wind begins to blow across our security and our sanctuary, we find ourselves in a new place, and we need to wake up Jesus. Now, why wouldn't we want to wake him up? I mean, other than the fact that we're confident in who we are and the fact that we've been trained, the fact that maybe he wouldn't ask us to do this again if we have to wake him up. If we have to come back to him, maybe he won't ask us to get in the boat next time because I thought you could maneuver this boat. I thought you could get us from this side to that side. I thought I could count on you. I needed the rest. I needed the break. I thought you could do this. But now here you are needing to call on me. That's not how Jesus views this. He got in the boat. He could have walked on the water. He could have just boom, boom, been there and you get there the best way you can, but I'll meet you on the other side. How you complete this task isn't my concern. I just gave it to you and I'll see you when you get it done on the other side and we'll go on from there. He gets in the boat with them. Jesus is in your boat. He's being swamped just like the storm is trying to, not that he's being swamped, but he's getting wet. He's in the environment with you. He's not concerned. He's still asleep. He's confident. He knows exactly what he's going to do. He knows exactly how to do it. But he's in there with you with all the emotions that are going on. He understands those emotions. He's not put off by the fact that you're frightened. He's not put off by the fact that you're in trouble. He's not put off by the fact that you have to wake him up. He's not put off by the fact that the scriptures that you're saying that used to build confidence and assurance in you aren't really building that confidence and assurance right now. He's okay with all that. He's not put off by your doubt. He's not put off by your unbelief. He's not put off by your lack of faith. He's just there with you in the boat waiting for you to say, I'm in trouble. I need you to help me. He's confident enough to give you the assignment. He's confident enough to know that you won't, that you're not going to go down. But before I go down, I'm at least going to cry out, Master, Master, we're in trouble. Master, Master, we are going to drown. The disciples woke him up and said, we're going to drown. Don't you know that the disciples hated to admit that? Here I am. Strong fisherman. I've fished all my life. This is my profession. I'm good at this. I do it all the time. I've been on this lake a lots of times. Don't you know that they hated to wake him up? And that's sometimes how we are. I hate to bother you, Jesus. I hate to bother you, God, with this again. I know that I'm supposed to have more faith than this. I know I'm supposed to trust you more than this. But you know what? I'm pretty frightened right now. And I need the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to speak confidence into me and settle my spirit. I need the peace that passes understanding. I need your joy unspeakable and full of glory because right now there's not a lot of joy around me. There's not a lot of peace in my life right now because the storm is raging. And remember some of you may remember this, I taught on turn and face God. Sometimes we look at the storms and we take on the attributes of the storms. Well, this storm has gotten big enough that I've had to pay attention to it. And I've turned and I've faced it and I've begun to take on the attributes of the storm. And I am afraid. And I am in chaos. And I can't seem to get organized, though I have the gift of organization. I can't seem to be an encourager, though that is the gift that I have because I am in the midst of the storm. And so we turn and we face the storm instead of turning and facing God and counting on His attributes. And how we talked about if we turned and we faced God, what would we see? We would see His steadfastness and His faithfulness. We would see the power and the creation and the creativity of Him. We would know the things about His character. And we would turn and we would face Him and we would take on those things as the storm rages around us. But in this situation, in this thing, in this place that I'm at right now, all of a sudden, maybe I have taken my eyes off, and maybe it's a reminder for me to trust God, to turn and face Him in the midst of the storm, and to say, I know the storm is raging, and I feel overwhelmed by it, and my emotions are lifting me up and crashing me down, and the wind is blowing me to the left and to the right. I'm like a reed. I just cannot seem to get any stability going in this situation. And I've turned and I've looked at the storm and I need to turn back and focus my attention back on who God is in my life, who Jesus is in my life. The fact that He has not abandoned me, He is in the boat with me, that should have given the disciples some sense of tremendous security that Jesus was there. After all, He's not going to go down with the boat. So if he doesn't go down, if he's not worried, then why in the world am I worried? But I promise you, right now in my life, I know he's in the boat with me, but I am plenty worried. I am plenty being pushed up in my emotions and crashed down in my emotion, even though I know he's not leaving me or forsaking me. Even though I've been through this storm before, even though I've had this situation happen before, even though I've studied the scriptures and recite the scriptures, even though I take communion in the morning so that I can be close and understand the price that Christ paid for me, even though I take captive every thought to make them obedient to Christ, I am scared in the storm. I know I'm not going to go down, but I promise you I'm scared in the storm. The disciples, the same thing. They had Jesus in the boat with them. You have Jesus in the boat with you no matter what you're going through. And it's okay to be afraid. And it's okay to wonder. And it's okay to even wake Jesus up and say, I really need your attention here. I really need you, Jesus. Do we have to handle the storms, the situations of the storms ourselves? No, but sometimes we hate to admit we can't do it. The disciples went and woke him up, and then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging water. The storm subsided and all was calm. I was praying about this last night as I was preparing this lesson, and I came across this scripture. And it amazed me that what came to me was that Jesus did not speak to the storm. He didn't say, storm, be still. He spoke to the cause of the storm. He spoke to the wind and to the rain, not to the storm. And when he spoke to the cause of the storm subsided. You know, I have told you many times there are five areas in my life that the Holy Spirit has asked me to work on. Trust, faith, discernment, sound mind, and self-control. I believe in my life right now, Jesus is speaking to the causes of the storm, not to the storm itself. Because if I can figure out the cause, then the storm will subside on its own. Trust and faith. These two things create big storms. I was talking to Kirky about this recently, and she said, Tricia, it's in the storms where we learn faith. It's in the storms where we learn to trust. You don't learn to trust on a bright sunny day when there's no clouds in the sky. And things are going okay. That's not where you learn trust. That's not where you learn faith. Jesus spoke to the cause of the storm. He rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. What's causing your storm? Maybe I don't know all the things that are causing the storm. Maybe it's things that are just outside of my control. And I can't really speak to that because I can't control that. But we can control our response to what the storm is doing to us. The cause that it unsettles us to a degree in which I don't like to be this unsettled. I don't like to be this much doubt and unbelief. I tell God all the time, I tell the Holy Spirit all the time, you do not deserve this fear in my life. Because I can look at my life and I can see the handprints of God all across my past. I can see places where He delivered me for sure, for sure. I can see places where just the awesomeness of who God was still amazes me. I can look at places where I thought He had abandoned me and I saw that He did not, that He was carrying me. It wasn't my footprints on the sand. It was Him carrying me. I can look at places in my life where I thought this could never work out, and I see the hand of God all over my life in the past. And I tell him, when I look at those things and I recall those things, they should bring more comfort to me than they're doing right now in the midst of the storm. They should build a lot more faith than they're building right now. I should have a lot more trust than I'm having right now. But right now, Holy Spirit, I really have to confess to you, I'm in trouble again, in the storm again. And though I can look and see how many storms you took me through, I can see how many times you delivered me, I can see the miraculous hand, I just need you to know, I deeply appreciate that. And I wish I could draw more faith from that than I am right now. And more trust than I have right now. And more discernment than I have right now. And more self-control and more sound mind than I have right now. But today, I need you to wake up and notice that I am in trouble. And I need you to help me speak to the cause, to know that I don't have the faith that I need right now, or the trust that I need right now, or the discernment that I need right now. I need us. I need together, me and you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to speak to the storm and have the storm subside. Then Jesus asked in verse 25, where is your faith? Now, those men were believers. Those men had been with Jesus. They had seen the miracles. They had seen exactly like I have. They had seen the handprint of God in Jesus' life. They had seen the miracles. They had seen the blind receive their sight. They had seen the water turn to wine. They had celebrated. They had danced. They had done it themselves. They had been given power to do it themselves. They came back elated saying, you won't believe even demons listen to us. You won't believe I prayed for somebody and they received their sight. In this moment in time, though, they weren't, they knew those things, but where was their faith is what Jesus asked them. And I don't think he meant this. He could have meant it like, where is your faith? How many times? But I think when we look at Jesus and we are in distress and the storms are overwhelming us, he's not embarrassed that we have to wake him. And he doesn't ask us in condemnation, where's your faith? He asks us in the sincere love for us, where's your faith? Where's your faith in me? Tricia, where's your faith in me? Well, right now, it's kind of shaky. Right now, the situation is too overpowering and too big and swamping me too much to have a lot of faith. But I have enough faith to cry out and wake you up. I have enough faith to realize I can't do this in myself. I have enough faith in the fact that you love me and care for me, that you're not going to let me drown in this situation, in this circumstance. I have enough faith to at least come to you and say, help, I'm drowning. I'm in real trouble here. And I think in that he looks at us with such compassion and such empathy and such sympathy even in our lack that he just says, where's your faith? Come on. Be like Paul when he says to Timothy, stir up the gifts, stir up the faith, stir up the things we're working on. Stir up those scriptures, stir up those Bible studies, stir up those past times and call them and remember them. Stir up the things that are inside of us. Where's your faith? Not in condemnation, but in divine love for us. Come on, you got it. I know it. I'm here with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to let you get overwhelmed. I'm not going to let you get swamped. I'm not going to throw you out of the boat. I'm not going to be embarrassed that you had to ask me. I'm not going to disqualify you for the future work of the kingdom because you had to turn to me and say, help, I need you. This is bigger than I thought it was going to be. I was so sure of myself. And now I'm in the midst of it. And it's not quite as I thought it was going to be. Then in their fear, it says, in their fear and amazement, they ask one another, who is this? Who is this that I believe in? Who is this that I follow? Who is this that asked me to do this task? Who is this that I'm being obedient to? Who is this? That even the storms, even the wind and the water, even the things of my life have to respond to who he is. Even the uncertainty of what I am in and where I am going and what you've called me to do and I cannot see into the future, and I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know I'm in the boat. I know I'm doing what you ask me to do. I believe that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I'm supposed to say to my daughter. This is what I'm supposed to do with my son. This is what I'm supposed to do with my marriage. And all of those things that I know to do, I am doing them. And then they can say, who are you? Who is this person that you're following? Then that's the turning and facing God. That's the turning and knowing the character of who He is, so that we can answer that question. He is the one who stills the storms. He is the one who speaks to the cause of the storms. He is the one that can equip me and train me. He is the one that can help me pick up in the dark of the night when the tears wet my pillow and I don't know where He is. And the next morning, somehow, some way, I wake up and I have some confidence inside of me that says, I can do this one more day. I can do this one more thing. I can do this. Because in the night I have gotten a new thought. I've gotten a new way to speak. I've gotten a new way to approach it. I've gotten a new opportunity. Someplace inside of me, faith has been birthed and I can do this one more time. I may end the night weeping on my pillow again. I may end up in the night with fear and doubt and unbelief, but today, right now, I know who you are because I've turned and I've gotten my eyes off of the storm and I've turned and I say, this is who God is. He's faithful to me. He's been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful through this. I've faced storms before that I thought would overwhelm me and I'm still here. And I can face this storm because I know whom I have believed in. And I know that He is faithful. And I know that I have deposited enough in my life that out of that deposit, there's enough to draw from to get me through this part when I turn and I face Him. And when I don't know when He will speak and the storm will be calm. It is not calm today. I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know even how that's going to work out. And you probably don't know either. The last storm you were in, you've probably thought exactly the same thing. I could handle it. It would be okay. I'm doing what God asked me to do. I'm doing the things that I know to do. And the storm just got bigger and bigger. And you thought the same thing. It would overwhelm me. But it didn't overwhelm you because you're here today. There's a lot of people that aren't here today that storms of life have overwhelmed them. Not their salvation, but just their faith system. Just their belief system. Just who God is in their life. And maybe they're still facing and studying the storm, trying to figure out, how do I get the waves to stop swamping my boat? You and I have very little control over the waves. You and I can't make the big waves small. We can't make the wind stop blowing strong across our confidence or across our situation, across our lives. But we can wake Jesus up and we can turn and we can face Him and we can know with confidence who He is. They were amazed, it said. They were in fear. There's sometimes I look and I am in total amazement at how God figured something out for me. If we just look at the plan of salvation, we can stand in total amazement at how from the Genesis through the crucifixion and the resurrection, that was all symbols of that. We can look at our own situation and we can think, I don't know how you did this. I don't know how you got me here. I think about my life and where I came from. And I have no idea why I'm standing here or why I'm sitting here or why I'm in this situation. But I am so amazed by your grace. I'm so amazed by your love. I'm so amazed that you're not turned off in my doubt and unbelief. I'm so amazed that you would always rescue me. I'm so amazed that I can count on you. I'm so amazed that you continuously forgive me for the same thing that you're trying to teach me, and I keep bumping into the walls or bumping into the night. I am amazed at you. In the midst of the storm, in our fear and doubt, we can still stand in amazement. Sometimes we think that when Jesus asks us to do something, it ought to be easy. When Jesus asks us to do something that we've been trained and equipped for, and that we're confident in ourselves and in who we are in Christ, that ought to be easy. It ought to be easy because we're familiar with the situation. He's not asked us to do something that we're not familiar with. This should be easy. How many of you in this room right now will raise your hand and say, I'm having an easy life? People who think being a Christian is a cop-out and an easy way, they're not a Christian, or they would know that this is not an easy way. Soon the storms in our life sometimes get out of control, and we just need to wake Jesus up. He's not really asleep. He's just waiting for an invitation to help you. He's waiting for you to get swamped enough and overcome and overwhelmed enough to ask him. And sometimes he asks us to ask pretty hard, pretty sincerely. Not that he isn't already at work, but sometimes he wants to know our commitment to him as much as his commitment to us. But he's always in the boat. And Jesus knows the cause. And he's always at work on the cause of the storms of our life. And sometimes we need a revelation of what those storms are, because sometimes I think I create a lot of the storms myself. I think I'm the one who lets the wind in and the water start getting choppy. I kind of just open it up and here it comes in, and then I wonder, what in the world am I doing in the middle of the storm? Who is Jesus? Jesus, they ask that question. He is our Savior. He's our friend. He's our rescuer. He's our safe haven. He's our rock. He's our tower. He's our strong tower that we run into. He is faithful. He is forgiving. He is gracious. He's kind. He's always interceding for us. He always loves. He always rescues. This is who Jesus is. There's a song that in our church, when I was small, we used to sing this song, and it says, "Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll from ever from the sky, keep me safe and let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by." That's what Jesus is asking us today. He's asking us to wake him up in the midst of our storm. He wants us to be a part of what he's doing, and he's including us, and he's asking us to go with him. He's asking us to have confidence in the faith and trust in who he is and who he has created us to be, and to step out and do the things that he's asked us to do, even if they feel familiar or they don't feel familiar. And he's asking us that to know that in the midst of anything that comes your way, in obedience to what I've asked you to do, no matter how the storms will rage, I am in the boat with you and I'm not going to abandon you. Because I'm going to be faithful to you. Recount my faithfulness to you. Tricia, sometimes he'll say, just what have I done for you in the past? Write them down. And I'll sit there and I'll write 4 or 5 or 7 or 10 things that he's done for me. And I can feel the faith begin to say, okay, I see. I'm turning back and facing you and not the storm. I'm turning back and I'm facing the attributes of who I know that you are. I'm not facing the storm anymore. And it's okay if I have to admit I'm afraid and that I'm in trouble. He's not going to be put off by that. He's going to be grateful that we have enough faith to turn and ask him. It's okay to wake him up. It's okay to need him. It's okay to cry out. It's okay to invite him in. It's okay to say, I can't handle it. I thought I could, but I just need something more than what's already deposited inside of me. And then it's okay if Jesus has to rebuke the cause. Maybe I've spoken to it and it just goes, Paul I know and Silas I know, but who the heck are you, Tricia Langley? And Jesus has to come in and say, she's my daughter. That's who she is. She carries my name. That's who she is. She speaks on my behalf. That's who she is. She's my ambassador. That's who she is. Cause, back off, because she's mine and you have no authority in her life. Sometimes it takes a bigger voice. It takes daddy's voice instead of mama's voice. And it's okay to have to answer the question, where's your faith? It's okay to have to say, I don't know where it is right now. I just know I need you. And it's okay to have to ask, who are you in this situation? And have to recount those. Are you in a storm? You coming out of a storm? You feel the water's getting a little choppy? And you know that something is not right? Maybe you're in a safe haven right now and everything is okay. If you're in a safe haven, it's a great time to equip yourself for the storm. Because Jesus will always ask us to go bigger and more and beyond what we think we can do. It's okay to get in the boat with Him and think, I'm confident in my ability. I'm confident in who You created me to be. But it's okay to get in the storm and have to wake Him up. So if you're in a storm, I ask you to turn and face who you know God really is. Take your eyes off of the storm and turn and face God. I ask you to wake Him up. Tell Him what you're really feeling. I know what I'm supposed to be feeling, but this is really what I'm feeling. And I think it's okay when He asks you, where's your faith, to say, I don't have any right now. Or it's kind of waning right now, or I really need that right now. So be ready to go into the storm. Be ready to go where Jesus asks you to go, knowing that He is going with you. He may not be going ahead of you and calming all the storms, but He's in the boat with you. And have that confidence in knowing that I can wake Him up. Heavenly Father, we praise You right now for Your faithfulness to us, and we thank You that You indeed do not leave us or forsake us. We thank You, Lord, that You're not too small, that Your arm is not weak. We thank You, Lord, that in the midst of the storms, when the waves overcome us, they don't overcome You. That when we don't have the power to speak to the storm and have it go calm and be calm, You do. We don't know how that works sometimes, Lord. I know that You've made me calm in the midst of the storm. I know sometimes You do speak and the storm is abated, but I know sometimes You just speak to me and I can calm down. I know that You ask us to turn to You and face You and take on Your attributes. And I pray that each woman in this room today, that as they face the storms of life, that they will be able to turn and face You. That they will be able to take their focus off of the storm and focus on who You are in their lives and how You've equipped them and trained them and how You are there with them to go across to the new things that you are asking them to do. To go to the other side, to go to a different place than they're comfortable with. And crossing that lake, crossing that divide of uncertainty and unknownness, that You would be with us always and that You will always rescue us. You will always provide for us an escape. And now I ask You by the power of the Holy Spirit that You would give us peace today, peace that passes our understanding. I pray that You would give us Your peace. You turned to Your disciple and You said, I give You my peace I leave with You. I ask You to leave Your peace with us today in the midst of whatever we're facing, whatever storm we're in or whatever storm we're going to face. I ask You to give us Your peace that passes our understanding. And Lord, as we go into our small groups now and into our discussions, that we will be confident in who we are. And sometimes when You ask us, where is your faith? We'll be able to boldly say, my faith is strong today. Or we'll be able to say, I don't know where my faith is today, but I know that I have enough faith to call on You. So Lord, whether we're resting in Your faith or whether we're just got a measure of faith, I pray that You would help us call on Your name and know and be confident in who You are. In the powerful name of the Lord Jesus, I bless these ladies, and I ask You to go with them into their discussion groups. Amen.